Psalm 33, and look at verse number 16. My text verse there is verse number 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. This morning's message is more of a concept that every Christian should have a grasp on, and I want to try to help you with it. The title of the sermon is Hoping in God's Mercy. But to take the verse as a whole, if you look at verse number 18 there, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Psalm 30 to 33, God used David to pen these chapters. Do you see how Psalm 33 starts? It starts with, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. When David was judged for numbering the people of Israel, 70,000 people died. This psalm was sung when God gave them victory again and when the sickness was passed also. The Jews always sang Psalm 30 to 33 when healing was given or whenever victory was given. And so this is what you would call a psalm of victory. That kind of helps us look at verse number 18, our text verse. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. When you look at the first part of the verse, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. What is the fear of the Lord? It's important that you understand that. I remember my boss that I worked for as a blacksmith. He would always say, I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a God-fearing man. Now, he smoked and cussed like a sailor, and he wasn't a saved man. But his idea of fearing God was what he was doing, and that was his perception. He did not have a scriptural view of fearing God. The fear of the Lord is all through your Bible. Can you listen just for a second? Job 28:26 says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111, just listen to these verses on the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 16:6, two more verses, listen. Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So when someone fears God, they're interested in growing in the Lord. They depart from whatever bad habits or sin that they have in their life. What pushes them? The fear of the Lord. There's a verse in the New Testament, Acts 9:31. Listen. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So there's a fear of the Lord in the New Testament. From these verses, we can deduct that the fear of the Lord is a deep reverence and respect for the Lord where you are in awe of God. That's a fear of the Lord. To fear the Lord is to recognize that He is the Creator and we are the creature, the created. He is the Master. We are the servants. He is the Father. We are the children. Properly seeing that is the fear of the Lord. It is not a trembling fear that is scared of mistreatment because the master is so cruel. Some people, they're angry at God and they're bitter at God and they really think God waits up in heaven going, go ahead, I can't wait till you blow it. One more, ah, there. They really, that's their perception of God. He's not a personal God. He's not a father. He's not loving. He is waiting for them to blow it. And you know, since nobody's perfect, God made me this way. And it's God. I mean, and then the bitterness and the anger and the filth. God is not that way. Doesn't God say at the last verse in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fearing God is what God made us to do. It's one of the reasons He created us. A genuine fear of the Lord is always seen in obedience to God's Word. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear Him, you fear nothing else. Whereas, if you don't fear God, you fear everything else. Psalm 33:18, our text verse says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. God tells us that if you scripturally fear God, you also hope in His mercy. Fearing God and hoping in mercy, they go together. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, comma, upon them that hope in His mercy. And you kind of get the feeling that fearing God and hoping in His mercy go together in hand to hand in this verse. We know the Bible was written to people that are saved. Someone who fears God and knows His anger. Would you take your Bible and go to John 6? We'll come back to Psalm 33, but go to John 6. Someone who fears God and knows His anger towards sin, if they really fear God, they'll get saved. John 6:45 says this, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God." So from Isaiah to Malachi, the prophets, Jesus said, the Bible teaches you that they shall all be taught of God, period, watch. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me." The more you learn of God and His hatred for sin, the more you realize you can't make it and you'll run to Jesus. Jesus said, if you really know God, if you really fear Him, and you know He judges sin, then you'll know I'm your only hope to stand before Him cleansed, and you'll come to me. And praise God, Jesus said earlier in John chapter 6, you're there, right? Look at verse number 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So when you come to Christ, it's because, and somebody said, well, I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Well, good, that's a good reason. That means you fear God. Okay, very few people I know get saved because they love Jesus so much. Most of us got saved because we didn't want to die and go to hell. And when we come to Christ because we learned He sees our sin, we can't hide anything from Him, and we need to run or go to Jesus and accept Him as our Savior. Psalm 33, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." Before I move on to this next point, God says His eye is upon those that properly fear Him. You know what gets God's attention? What attracts God's eye? Is when you fear Him properly. And you are in awe and you respect Him. God says, that catches my eye. That draws my attention to you. In looking at Psalm 33:18, to hope in God's mercy, you have to know what mercy is. Grace and mercy are not the same thing. Grace means God's unmerited favor. It means God giving you the good that you don't deserve. That's grace. Grace, I know we use grace and mercy interchangeably, but they're almost, not quite, they're almost opposite. Grace is God giving you the good things that you don't deserve. When you take your Bible and you look at the word grace, just listen to this. God, okay. Think about this just for a second. God's mercy doesn't save you. God's grace is what saves you. You say, are you sure? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 3:24, "Being justified or saved freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." One more verse, Titus 2:1-9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So as we look into hoping in God's mercy this morning, I'm going to try to help you understand. Grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. It's God's giving you positive things. Since that is true, what is mercy? Mercy is God not giving you the negative that you do deserve. Grace is God giving you the good that you don't deserve. Mercy is God not punishing you for what you do deserve. Those verses, beautiful, looking, if you keep them separate in your mind, Noah Webster said that there's no word in the English language like mercy. Like mercy. Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Can you take your Bible and we'll come back to Psalm 33. Go to Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103. Look at verse number 8. Here both attributes of God, graciousness and mercy, are applied to the Lord. Look at Psalm 103. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful. He has not given me the negative that I deserve, and gracious. He is giving me good things that I don't deserve. Slow to anger and plenteous. There's that word again. In mercy. Look down at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What a verse. I love thinking of that. God is merciful, and He has not spanked you for everything wrong you've done. He has not. There are things that you have not been spanked for as a child of God now. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. There's mercy and fear tied together. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Glory to God.
Amen.
On the earth, it does not say as far as the north is from the south, because if you go north far enough, you're eventually going to head south. And if you go south far enough, you're going to eventually head north. But you can go east forever. And you can go west forever. And as far as the east is from the west, He hath cast our sins from... Beautiful verse. I just love how God put it in His Word. Look here, verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We're made of the dust of the earth. They say if you took all that, our bodies are like 78 or 82, I forget the percent amount of water. If you took all the water out of our body, you'd end up with a pile of minerals about somewhere around 2 feet by about a foot high. It'd just be that's what we are. God made us from dust. He knows how frail we are, and God knows that we're just dust. Go back to Psalm 33. So yes, God is merciful and God is gracious. You're going back to Psalm 33. I'm going to read you Exodus 34 when God appears to Moses and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means spare or clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. Let's talk about mercy just for a second. The name of the sermon this morning is Hoping in God's Mercy. Sin does have to be paid for. I spoke with a woman when I was out soul winning yesterday. It was sad. She said, I just believe at the end of my life, I'll ask God to forgive me and my sins will be gone. And I said, ma'am, God has never forgiven a sin that wasn't paid for. Think about it. All through your Bible, every time God forgives, it's because that sin has been paid for. God doesn't forgive you because you asked for forgiveness. If you were in a court of law, and a wreck happened, and a drunk driver hit you, and killed your family, and you were the only one left in that courtroom, now it's you, the drunk driver, and the judge. And he is saying, forgive me. Please wipe it off my record. I am so sorry. I mean, with tears streaming down his face. And the judge looked at you and said, I tell you what, I know this guy. He doesn't normally drink like he was. I'm going to go ahead and let him off the hook. You would say, that's unjust. He's guilty of this many counts of manslaughter, drinking while under the influence, and the law has to be satisfied or you're unjust. God is the same way. Just because someone says, please forgive me with tears, when they're genuine. With genuine tears, God says, I can forgive that sin, but it has to be paid for. Because if I forgive a sin that is not paid for, then I am unjust, and just is one of the qualities that God is. I felt sorry for the lady, and we tried to explain salvation to her, but we just gave her food for thought. But our text here is talking about someone who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood He shed for them on the cross. For someone to say God is merciful and would never send anyone to hell is a lie that is not found anywhere in the Word of God. That was different. Yesterday I also met a different lady. Knocked on her door and told her, I was the pastor of Gospel Light. And I think one of the first things she said was, I don't believe in hell. And I said, okay. I said, Jesus taught us more about hell than He taught us about heaven. He taught on both places, but He taught more about hell than He taught about heaven. She looked at us, and we got to leave on a friendly note, and I'm glad. But it's amazing out there. Well, I just don't believe in hell. God's too merciful. No. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Every time I read that, the nations, that wicked shall be turned into hell. When we'd work cattle and get them right into that corner, then they would get them ready to put them into the next section, they'd say, turn them in. That meant the gates went poof, blah, and then they'd work their way through, and our job was, turn them in. And the wicked will be turned into hell. Turn them in. And then they just pour in. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. No, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, the Messiah, ye shall die in your sins. When someone says, I've done my best, and I've worked hard, I'm honest, and pay my debts, I don't swear or drink liquor, and I'm always ready to help the poor, and I never speak bad about religion. No one is perfect, and God is merciful because He's going to make up for what I have done and what I haven't done. And this is what they say, and I'm all right. Or they'll say this, Jesus helps me, and I help Jesus, and together we'll both get me to heaven. That's wrong. This is deception, and it's a lie that cannot protect you. No one is good enough to save themselves. It is ridiculous to think that you can help Jesus Christ save you. When Jesus died on the cross, He cried, "It is finished." That means nothing more can be added to it. I've done it all. Now all you have to do is accept what I've done. But you can't add to what I've done because it is finished. He paid it all. Religious people say, "I'm all right. I'm all right." God's mercy cannot possibly come in the way that they expect it to come. If that is anyone's idea of mercy, they need to be careful because their idea of mercy is just a soft pillow for their head while they sleep themselves into hell. It's scary. I hate watching the devil deceive people, and they'll actually think things. The lady we were talking to yesterday, another one, I said, ma'am, your idea of what saves someone is found nowhere in the book. It's nowhere. I said, I understand that's what you think and that's what you feel, but God's Word, I said, it's totally different. I'm working our way through it. You're not all right. You must be born again. What you are, a hell-deserving sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins, has to be made alive and changed. If you hope in His mercy, you trust Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed for you on the cross because His mercy, in His mercy, He offered Himself in your place and made a way to be saved. His mercy made salvation possible, and when you accept it, His grace is what saves you. That's mercy and grace. Now let's look at our text. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. So we know this is talking to the saved. A hope in God's mercy should be felt by every one of us that has trusted Jesus as our Savior. Listen, as God's children, we hope in God's mercy because we know what we are. There's only two types of sinners, everybody. Saved sinners and lost sinners. And until we get to heaven, that ain't changing. I had no chance of being saved without God's mercy. Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When you think about what God, when you think about what God has spared you from that you don't even know about. I could list for you several near calls of death that I've had. Several people in the room could. I got news for you. There's times that God spared you from death that you weren't even aware of. God was working in your life. And there's things you do know about, and there's things you're not going to know about until you get to heaven. That's God's mercy. That's God's mercy. God's mercy provided salvation. God's grace saved me. God's mercy makes a man love the Lord Jesus more and want to be like Him because I only have hope in Christ. Outside of Christ, I have no hope. When any person comes empty-handed, just as they are, and casts themselves on what Jesus did on the cross, that individual is saved and they'll never perish. God tells us in 1 Timothy that our hope is in Christ. It's only because of what He did for me on the cross that I have any hope. Any hope. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. When you hope in God's mercy, you realize also His eye is upon you. You have God's attention. Because I know God's eye is watching me, watch this, it calms my fears. What about the rioting that's going on? And what about our political system? And what about the... I'm not worried about it. Am I pleased with it? No. Does it bother me? Do I pray about it? Yes. But am I scared? No. Because you know what? My Heavenly Father's got it all under control. And I love this statement. I'm not looking for the next train out, but you know when I'm going to die? When God's done with me. And when God's done with me, I don't want to stay. I want to go home when God's done. Amen? When God's done. When God has used me the way He created me and saved me to be used, when that purpose is fulfilled and done, and He doesn't want to use me anymore, or I know God can do anything, then I want to go home. But while I'm here to be used. All of us are. All of us are. When you hope in God's mercy, it calms your fears. How about this? Titus 1:2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began." God can't lie. God's promised to save every person who trusts Christ. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I'm so thankful I'm saved this morning. No one watches and looks over you like your Heavenly Father. We saw Psalm 103 this morning, we've already read it, just like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. God sees your fears this morning. God sees your weaknesses. God sees your tears. And it's wonderful when you fear the Lord and you hope in His mercy to know that He loves you and God means to bless you. I didn't say something good's about to happen to you, none of that stuff, no health and wealth. I just know this, when you fear God, and you recognize His presence, and when you leave the building today, and you go to your house, He's still watching you just as much at your house as He's watching you here. God's no more here than He is at your house. And you fear God in your house. When you fear God, it causes you to, when you fear the Lord, if He's always watching you, then you're careful about what you think. You're careful about what you say. Because He's watching you. He hears it all. If you fear God, then you're careful about where you go and you're careful about what you do. And His eyes watching you. It's like living always in the presence of God. And sometimes when you ask a Christian, "How come you did that?" They'll say this, "I forgot God was watching." God's with you everywhere. He lives inside of you. He's with you all the time. And fearing God says, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Then it causes me to watch my tongue. And it causes living in God's presence. If you make a mistake, immediately saying, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have thought that. Shouldn't have... I'm sorry." God saw it, and when it happens, immediately confessing it. I don't have to wait till the end of the day. "Lord, I'm sorry. That was wrong." And I can talk to Him because He's always there. That's a fear of God. Hoping in His mercy includes fearing the Lord. As a child of God, I hope God's mercy never winks at sin, but it understands my weaknesses. If I'm hoping in God's mercy as a child of God, I hope in His mercy. I'm hoping His mercy includes His forgiveness. He made it possible. I'm so glad. I fail God. I'm praise the Lord. I know I'm not perfect. If you need a list of my sins, see me afterwards. I can make a longer list than you can. Okay? That's a joke. Please don't see me about that afterwards. All right? But I'm so glad He forgives. I'm so glad. I hope in His mercy. If I'm doing that, I'm hoping in His forgiveness, and I'm thankful for it. As a child of God, as I hope in His mercy, I'm thankful for His patience. I don't know that there's any sin that I've ever gotten instant victory over in my life. It takes work and work and work and God's patience with me. I'm so glad when I blow it, He doesn't throw me in the trash can where He found me. But He keeps working with me in His patience. I hope in His mercy. I hope in His mercy because of His patience. As a child of God, I hope in His mercy that He loves me. It means a lot because I have nothing to make Him love me. And neither do you, by the way. I hope in His mercy. I hope in His mercy. I like this. As a child of God, I hope in His mercy. I'm never going to go to hell when I die. My hope is in His mercy. God says in Psalm 91, only with thine eyes thou shalt see the reward of the wicked. God says you and I will see people cast into hell, but we'll never go there. And when you read the last chapter in Isaiah, chapter 66, when God throws them into the pit, the lake of fire, God's going to say, read the last two verses, God's going to say, that is what I saved you from. Now worship me. And it says, from one new moon to another, for a month, all we're going to do is just, once we watch the damned thrown into hell, we will praise Him and worship Him. God, look what You spared me from. I deserved that, but You saved me. I hope in His mercy. I hope in His mercy. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. God's mercy toward me helps remind me. Since God has that kind of mercy on me, helps me have mercy on others. Since God's patient with me, and God forgives me, and God loves me, then when someone fails me and wrongs me, shame on me for not forgiving. Shame on me for not being patient. Shame on me for making my love so conditional. Amen? What does me hoping in God's mercy do? It reminds me of my place before Him. And when we fail each other, because we're going to, it's going to happen. Someone's going to let you down. If it hasn't happened yet, don't hold your breath, but it will happen. Just like you've let other people down. Someone's going to let you down. And hopefully, you'll extend the same mercy, and you won't light into them or rip into them, because when you blew it, God didn't rip into you. Let me tell you something. You just need somebody. Did you forget how good God's been to you? I hope in His mercy. His eye is upon those that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. Are you there in Psalm 33? Can we look at the last two verses? Just in case you miss it in verse 18, it's awesome. I just love the Bible. But God says, just in case you miss it, I'm going to switch it around in the last verse. Look at verse number 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Look at verse 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. In verse 18, he says, I hope in thy mercy. And God says, then he says, Lord, let your mercy be upon us as we hope in you and expect good things for the future in God working in our lives.